very thankful to your pastor for the kind words of welcome and for the invitation to come and share something of what the Lord is doing amongst his ancient people in these days through the distribution of his own precious word. Some of you will know that the Society for Distributing Hebrew Scriptures reaches out to the Jewish people with the precious words of life, the word that came to us through them. And it is our great privilege to give it back to them, especially in the New Testament scriptures. We rejoice in what the Lord is doing in these days. Not what we are doing, but what he is doing. He is opening Jewish hearts and minds to seek after a knowledge of our Lord Jesus, especially the young. And we praise the Lord for these opportunities. I want to turn to the Word of God just for a short moment, and then we'll give a little report on the work. Turning to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. I'm commencing to read at verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. May it please the Lord to bless to us the reading of his own precious word to all of our hearts. Moses was the great God-appointed leader to bring Israel out of bondage in Egypt. His name is synonymous with the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. His name is mentioned more than 80 times in the New Testament scriptures. He's described in the Word of God as the meekest man in all the earth. And yet this great man, Moses, the man of God, he was not prepared to take one step forward without being assured of the Lord's presence with him. And if it was necessary, brothers and sisters, for Moses, it's certainly necessary for me this morning, and it's necessary for you that we may be assured of the Lord's presence with us. The day and hour he saved us, he made us a very wonderful promise. He promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. But it's like all biblical promises. We may know them so well, we may even fundamentally stand upon them, but it's working them out in our own individual lives that really count. It is the reality of his presence that really counts. And being conscious that he is with us at every moment and at every time. I thought about Joseph in the Old Testament, and Joseph, who was a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus. Joseph, who was beloved of his father and hated by his brethren. And his brethren lay in wait for him, and they took that coat of many colors off his back, and they put him into a pit, and they sold him as a slave into Egypt. And in Egypt he was a servant in Potiphar's house. And daily he was provoked to immorality by Potiphar's wife. And yet it says three times in Genesis 39, and the Lord was with Joseph. Now in that house, no doubt that day, there was only Potiphar and Joseph. But Joseph was conscious that someone else was there. And he lived in the light of that. And in the day of temptation, it was a safeguard to him that the Lord was there. And how different our lives would be, how different my life would be if I was conscious of the Lord's presence with me. There's many a thing I would never say if I thought the Lord was at my shoulder. But the truth is, He is at my shoulder. For He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And there's a wonderful reassurance that comes with His presence. There are times in our lives when only He can come nearest of all. Times of bereavement, times of difficulty, times of trouble. Thinking of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee in John chapter 6, and they're rowing, and there arose a great wind and a great storm. And they see a figure approaching them, and they were afraid. And it was the Lord walking on the very thing that troubled them. See, beloved, He is Lord of all our situations. And things can blow up very suddenly. It can all be sweet and calm today, and tomorrow, we're in the midst of the storm. And they see Him walking on the very thing that concerned them. And He comes, and the Scripture says they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Many a time we're afraid. I'm afraid this morning. But He saith unto them, It is I. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. There's one who comes closer than any other can come. Remember the morning my mother died. I was the youngest in the family, and my brothers and sisters gathered around me, and they were saying all sorts of things into my ear because they loved me. And yet the Lord was coming closer than even my nearest and dearest on earth. There's the reassurance of His presence. I feel so sorry for those in the world that don't have Him. Because they have to face trouble. They have to face difficulty, but without Him. But I was thinking particularly, just for a moment, I was thinking particularly about the resources that He brings with His presence. You remember the two on the road to Emmaus? And they begin to walk together, and someone joins with them. And they have the wonderful words, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. And immediately there began a wonderful Bible study. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. You see, the Lord brought something with Him. He brought His Word. You think of the position that the Lord gave His Word on the Emmaus Road. It was a central position. Those things concerning Himself were found in His Word. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, not in the light of what I think of His Word, in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Thinking of Moses in this passage of Scripture, and also we read here about Joshua, and I know our dear brother's doing these studies in Joshua, and I'm sure he's covered every aspect of it, but just thinking of this aspect of it, when the Lord comes after the death of Moses to the young man Joshua, and says to Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Arise, go over this Jordan. And I'm sure his heart sank. I'm sure he was fearful. And then the Lord says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. The Lord promised His presence. I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. But then there was something else, wasn't there? A little bit further on in that chapter, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but in it thou shalt meditate both day and night. The Lord's presence and his word, they go hand in hand together. And the Lord leads us through his word. And he opens his word to us. The psalmist prayed, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things from out of thy law. May it be, beloved, that lamp to our feet and that light to our path in these days. Our brother's going to put these little pictures up for us of the work. And we, as I've said, some of you will know of the work, and I think that's just gone off the page. I'm sorry about that. But the society gives the Word of God to the Jewish people, and particularly the New Testament scriptures. And we give them in bilingual format. Hebrew one side of the page and the other side of the page, the language of the country that the Jewish person is found in. And there are various languages, 11 languages that we give the scriptures in, but always Hebrew on the other side of the page. At the moment, we're producing a Hebrew-Italian New Testament. The New Testament is, of course, forbidden reading, really, for Jewish people. The rabbi doesn't permit them to read it. And yet there is a tremendous interest amongst them in these days. We also have a CD-ROM. We produce the Old Testament as well, in Hebrew English and Hebrew French and Hebrew Hungarian and Hebrew Spanish now. But we produce a little CD-ROM with 15 Bibles on it. And you can see the first two languages there are Hebrew and Yiddish. These languages are spoken by ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel, of course, and in places like the United States of America, New York. You can see the bottom of this little CD, there's two languages. The top one is Hebrew, the bottom is Yiddish. This is a wonderful tool for giving to Jewish people, because many of them don't really realize what they've taken. And when they put it on the computer, they realize it's the New Testament. And they can discard it, but I believe many read it. And this work is particularly underneath the surface. And the Lord is at work underneath the surface amongst the Jewish people in these days. We live in days when there's much hatred against the Jewish people. You don't have far to look to find it. It seems that anything Israel does, people are on the streets protesting against it. And that really anti-Semitism is very thinly disguised in these days. Even in our own country, we see it now. This is our building in Hitchin in North London, and here is where we store the scriptures and send them out all over the world to Jewish people. Just pray for those who work in the building, because it has been damaged in recent years. We're about half a mile from a small mosque, and it's maybe not in the best area in the world for doing what we do. So just pray for the protection of the building and for, of course, those who work in it on a daily basis. But the Lord's at work. We're not going to concentrate on what the evil one is doing, but what the Lord is doing. This is a picture of a synagogue in Southport in England. And the man at the center of this picture is the rabbi. And he wrote to us last year, and he requested 20 Hebrew, English, New Testaments, that he might have a Bible study from the New Testament in the synagogue. I've been involved with this work nearly 20 years. I've never heard of that before. We praise the Lord. Not for what we are doing. We didn't do this. The Lord softened the heart and caused them to seek after a knowledge of the person of their own Messiah. And we pray that the entrance of God's words will bring light and the knowledge of the only Savior. I believe believe that Bible study is still going on. And each Jewish door, if they're any way observant, you'll have a little mezuzah. And that mezuzah really marks out a Jewish family. Inside the little cylinder is the Word of God. And for many centuries, the Jewish doors have been closed to the New Testament. And yet, as I've said, the Lord seems to be opening those doors in these days. We praise His name for that. We know a dear friend who lives in Israel in a place called Petah Tikva. Petah Tikva means door of hope. And there is a door of hope that the Lord has opened in these days. And we pray that we are faithful to go through that door where the opportunities arise. This is in England, and this is in London. And this is our sister Joy Browning. And some of you will get our magazine and know that Joy Browning and Roberta Collins, they go door to door with the scriptures amongst Jewish people. They visit Jewish people in their homes and seek to offer them the word of life. And this dear man is very seriously ill. And when he got the scriptures into his hand, he wept. And they have opportunity to meet people like this, and just on the edge of eternity, and to give them the word. And we trust that they will take it not only into their hands, but into their hearts and find Him. I believe in this work anyway. I believe that only eternity will truly reveal what the good seed of the Word of God has brought forth. This again is another home. And this, when they visited here, they realized that, of course, this man was Jewish. But also his carer, she was a Christian. And she loved him dearly, and they had a bit of banter together. But when they give him the scriptures, he said, well, she'll read them to me. And we certainly believe she'll do that because she loves them. When you think of the Jewish people, of course, you can't help but think of Jerusalem. And we were there just a couple of weeks ago, and we're just looking over, some of you have been here many times, we're just looking over from the Mount of Olives, over the Jewish graves, over the Kidron Valley, up onto the Temple Mount. And we see that there's just a plinth. There's no temple there at all. And this was a Friday, and you can see little figures in the Temple Mount. Those are all Muslims. And they're bowing down. But it's not to Jehovah. It's to another God. And certainly what the Lord said when He left the temple for the last time, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And when you see a picture like this, it's very evident that it is desolate. And Jewish people, they have no access. They feel, of course, when they come to the wall, and this psalm is very much in their heart, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, and so on. This wonderful psalm that begins by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. And they remember what it was, what the temple was. They had access, the priesthood, the sacrificial offerings, and so on. But none of that is there now. There's no mediator. And sadly, they come to a wall. What does a wall suggest to you? It suggests a barrier. The Lord Jesus didn't say, I'm the wall. He said, I'm the door. What a difference. There is a door that is open. And even in the day of their greatest joy, they remember sorrow. This is their wedding day, and this is the chuppah. And at the end of the ceremony, the bridegroom will take a glass, and he will put it under his foot, and he will crush it. And that reminds him. Even in the day of his greatest joy, it reminds him of sorrow. It reminds him of the destruction of the temple in AD 70. And the one before that in 586 BC by the Babylonians. And they are a people without. They are without a shepherd. And Israel needs a shepherd. This, I hope you can see it. This is... The Lord has opened a wonderful door in Jerusalem itself, and this is the Jerusalem International Book Fair, which is a tremendous opportunity to get the Word of God into the hearts of Jewish people. And we have a stand full of New Testaments here. The Lord opened this door in 1993, and it remains open. Next week, Jerusalem Book Fair will begin again. And what an opportunity it is to get the Word of God into the hands of Jewish people. So just some people who come to the book fair, and this man is a scientist. Get very educated people come to the book fair, as well as just ordinary folk. This man is a French scientist, and he's taken the Hebrew-French New Testament here. This man is an Orthodox Jew, and he's come in just from his day's work. He set his computer down, and he's reading the New Testament. And we bless the Lord for it. And this could not have been even envisaged 15 years ago. If you can see these are Russian Jews, and there are many Russian Jews in Jerusalem, and they're coming here and just reading the Hebrew-Russian New Testament. This is something happened in 2007. This dear man came to the stand after everybody had gone home, and he's speaking to Joy here, and he told her that 2005 he had taken the New Testament and he had begun to read it privately at home, and he'd come to faith in the Lord Jesus. And such is the power of the Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And you know, what word of man can discern between the thoughts and intents of the heart? Only the Word of God. This is something you'll see families coming to the book fair and looking at the New Testament, perhaps for the first time in their lives. You see in the background there's an ultra-Orthodox Jew. And many of them, of course, are, I believe, secretly interested, but don't come to the stand. And also their presence is quite menacing to those that do come. But here we are. Here's three young Jewish men in Jerusalem. They belong to yeshivas, if you like, religious school. And they're just here they are, just three steps of stairs here. And the young man at the back, you can see he's got his hand up. I believe he saw the camera. And they don't like to have their photograph taken, and certainly at a stand full of New Testaments. But they're interested in the New Testament. This is a dark slide. I don't know. I can't see it from here. I don't know if you can see it, but I can't. These men are ultra-Orthodox Jews. For the first time, really, in the last two book fairs, we've had them at the stand. And, you know, this tells us that the Lord is at work. It doesn't tell us that we're at work. He has brought them. And there's something pulling them to come. And we praise his name for what he's doing. We've had opportunity here in Northern Ireland. I'm just going to deal with that as quickly as I can. We've had tremendous opportunity amongst the young people that have come in to work here, young Jewish people. And some of them have come right into our homes, of course. I'm sure you've had this. Young people selling paintings. We had three, maybe four in our own home in Killalea. Now, we're just out in the sticks a bit. How they ever got to us, I don't know, but they did. And I'm sitting with a room full of Hebrew scriptures. It's just been wonderful. This girl came to us a few years ago, and her name is April. And she told us immediately that she was from a town called Sderot. And Sderot is just about a mile from Gaza. It's the most missile town in Israel. And she told us that 2 months prior to her coming to us, her home had been hit by a missile, and she used the expression, "We were saved." And what an opportunity that is, to speak about a greater salvation. And there she was sitting in my front room, and we had a great time with this girl. And we just pray that she may come to know the Lord Jesus. Her heart was soft, and she went away with the Word of God from us. And as soon as we brought it down, she nearly fell. She could not believe that a Gentile home should have the Hebrew scriptures. And she was shocked. And she was shocked at some of the things we were saying to her. And you could see even by the expression on her face, she was saying to herself, how come he knows and I don't? All the time. And you know, we do provoke them to jealousy in that way. This is in Belfast in Castle Court. We've had young people working in Castle Court for many years now. Not so many now because there has been anti-Semitism. And this lad is called Shiv. We talked to him and he was just up for an argument. Many Jewish people love an argument. Doesn't necessarily mean they disagree with you. They probably do. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. But at the end of the argument, he took the word of God, both Tanakh and New Testament. Whether he agreed with me or not, I don't really care as long as he took the word. It's the entrance of thy words that give light. And these lovely young people, and it's so great to see them even in our province and have the opportunity just to tell them that somebody loves them, somebody greater than we are, and gave himself for them. And they all took the word of God. Again, they were boisterous and they had a bit of a banter with them, but they took the scriptures. But this is something that took place in January 2 years ago. This is an anti-Israeli protest in Castle Court. And they surrounded one of the Israeli stands and did a lot of damage and heard a lot of abuse at the young people. And afterwards I went to see them and told them that not everybody in Northern Ireland thought that way and that we loved them. And why we loved them, not just a platitude, but we talked about not our love, but the love of Christ. And they were willing to take the word of God from us, both Tanakh and New Testament. And even through this horrible thing, I met this lad again in Dublin, and he remembered me and told others, so we were able to get the word of God into their hands. This is a lad in Craigavon, who was working there some years ago, and we spoke to him. He was a delightful young man, as smart as paint, as you say, very, very clever. And he wanted to talk about various things, but all the time I tried to get him back to the scriptures and tried to get him back to the word, and he took it from me, the New Testament as well. Many of them, of course, are open, and maybe too open. They're open for a lot of stuff that's very strange indeed. But he took the New Testament gladly. These are young men working in Makerfeld. We give them the word of God, both Tanakh and New Testament. This is in Uri. And this young man's called Amit. He doesn't look as if he's Orthodox, but he is. He comes from an Orthodox home. When I mentioned the name of the Lord Jesus, he clammed up very quickly. And after a little while, we talked a bit more, and I told him that we had a great love for the Jewish people and why we had a love for them. Because everything that we held precious had come to us through them. The word of God and the Son of God had come through them. And I said, I know you don't agree with that, but I said, that's from my perspective. That's the way I view it. And I said, my opinion is not formed by the 6 o'clock news. My opinion is formed by this book, by God's word. And I said, it came to us through you. You should be doing this. So we talked like this for quite some time. And after a while, I showed him the Tanakh. And he said, it's really lovely. I can't take it. I said, look, it's a gift from Christians who love you. He said, I'll take it. After a wee while, I showed him the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah. He said, I said, I'd love you to receive it. He said, how could I not receive it after what you've just said? And it is important how we approach them. God has approached us in love. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. God didn't wait till I got a bit better. I wasn't getting any better. He loved me as I was. This is a dear girl in Uri, and It's a few years ago now when there were a lot of young Israelis in Europe. Not so many now. In fact, we just found one at Christmas time. But there were about five stands of them at this time. And when we approached this girl, sorry, we didn't approach her. We approached about five or six others and gave them all the word of God. And I thought, this is great. And this girl came around the side of the stand. She stopped me. She said, "You're giving Tanachim." I said, "I am. It's Hanukkah and I'm giving them as gifts." I thought she was going to complain. She said, "I don't want the Tanakh." I said, I'm really sorry to hear that." She said, "You don't understand. I want the New Testament." I said, "I'm really glad to hear that." I put my hand in the bag to reach it to her. And she just bent down, whispered into my ear. She said, "You know, I believe." I said, "What do you believe?" She said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." So I said, "That's wonderful." She said, "I've 2 days off now. I want to read the New Testament." You know, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was thinking, here's a wee girl away from home, away from any parental control. And she didn't say, "I've 2 days off now. I want to go to the pub." She said, "I've 2 days off now. I want to read the New Testament." You see, the Lord was working. It wasn't Tom Rice working. It was the Lord was working in her heart. We're simply responding to what the Lord is doing in these days. This girl also in Uri. Remember these? I'm just going to show you them. These individuals. This was just in December 10. The only lad working in Uri that I could find. Anyway, his name is Zach. He's Jewish. And he's working in a little stand. Doesn't look particularly Jewish stand. This is in Glasgow. We go over to Glasgow quite often. We give the scriptures in shopping centres. This stand here, when I went to this stand, the girl at the stand on the right hand side, she more or less told me to get lost and didn't want to know and so on. Went to the other side of the stand, showed the scriptures. The lad was so excited to see the word and got it into his hand and he was going like this to her. And then I gave him the New Testament, he looked at it and he said, "Yes, I will read it." Next thing I knew, she was round to our side. She wanted them. So what they say is not necessarily what they're thinking. This lad works in the, well, he was working out at the airport in Glasgow. His name is Avrishan. He's a lovely lad. Again, very intelligent. And I think he thought I knew Hebrew, which I don't. And he was asking me all sorts of stuff. But at the same time, he was willing to take the Word of God, take the Tanakh and New Testament. And we rejoice in that. These gentlemen work for the Israeli Tourist Board. And the man on the left is Ron Israel. The man on the right is Avi Shalav. And they both took the Word of God from me at a lecture in Glasgow. And one of them took it in Belfast, sorry, but the second one took it in Glasgow. He's the director of the Israeli Tourist Board, and he told me that he'd been interested in the New Testament. And he said, "It's kind of strange that you're here." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I promise you that I'll keep these scriptures on my desk and I'll read them every day." Now, I can't ask for any more than that. We just pray that the Lord will break down the barrier in his heart and that he will see the person of the Lord Jesus. I have a lot to say in 10 minutes to say it. This is East Kilbride, and this lovely lad was willing to speak to me in the middle of, well, not that busy a day, he hadn't that many customers, but he dealt with his customers in between and still talked to me. And he took the Tanakh and the New Testament, and at the end of our conversation he went like this. He said, "I don't know, maybe Jesus is the Messiah." That's just the way he said it. And you just do not know what's going on. This is looks like a, well, it's an anti-Israeli protest. It looks as if it's in the West Bank, but in fact it's in Dublin. And it's in Dublin just in May of last year, at the end of May. And there's a lot of hostility towards them in Dublin. And we have the opportunity around Hanukkah time, around the Festival of Lights, that's around Christmas time, the 8 days of Hanukkah. You can look it up. It's a great opportunity to give gifts. And of course, the gifts we want to give are the Word of God. And if you can see this, these are young Israelis working in the shopping centre in Dublin. When we went to them, we went to quite a few of them. Everyone we went to, they said, "We're not Jewish. We're not from Israel." And we had to talk and talk and talk until they would admit, because they were scared. There was anti-Israeli protests in Dublin and they were being marked out. And this lad took the Tanakh from us and he took the New Testament. And they were more thrilled to get the New Testament than they were to get the Tanakh. See, he's got the New Testament held up to get a photograph. And it tells you that something's going on in the hearts of Jewish people. This is around Hanukkah time. And this is a young man. Again, when we went to him, I said to him, we've come down especially to visit young Jewish people working away from home and just to give them a little gift. And he said, "I'm not Jewish. And we're not from Israel." And we talked a bit more. And I said, "I brought a little Hanukkah card. And I brought you a special gift." And I showed him the Hanukkah card. I showed him the Tanakh. He said, "Actually, I am Jewish." I said, "I thought you were. It's really lovely to meet you." And I said, we love you. Because the Lord Jesus was Jewish and came to the Jewish people. And I showed him the scriptures and they were absolutely amazed with the word. And this lad with the long hair, he came then and he said, "I thought he was going to be very flippant, but he wasn't. In fact, he was very careful with the Word of God. He handled it like a piece of gold." And he took the Tanakh and New Testament. There was a girl standing beside this lad, and she'd just returned from her coffee break. I can remember, a big long coat on her, drinking a cup of coffee. And I just bent down and was just about to give this lad the New Testament. I looked up at her and I said, "Would you like a set?" She said, "Yes, I would." And that was the extent of our conversation. But she went away with the words of life. And we asked her to pray for them. There's another girl on the stand as well. This group on the stand, when we went to it, I said one or two positive things about Israel. They gathered around us like birds around seed. They were just so pleased to hear something positive. And this lad in the white shirt, he said, I've worked in America, and I've met people who believe what you believe and love us." And I said, "I'm glad about that." And I give him the Word of God, and he said, "People have come to this stand and shook it and said things that made us cry in our heart. I'm sure they said terrible things to them." This is another stand we went to, and you can see, well, there's four individuals here, but just to give you an idea of the opportunity that we have, on the right-hand side, this lad is an Italian Jew. On the left-hand side, this lad is an Indian Jew. The two here in the centre, well, they're all from Israel, but their parents are from various places. They all took the Word of God. But this is an anti-Israeli protest in shopping centres. I went to this stand and I used my two or three sentences in Hebrew here to the lad who was at the front of the stand, and he didn't want to know me at all. He told me to clear off because he didn't want to be pointed out as being from Israel. And I went to the other side of the stand, talked to this girl. She said she was from Dublin. Of course, her accent told me that. And she said, "I married a Jewish lad and turned to be Jewish." That's the way she put it. And I said, "I'd love to give you a gift. Come down specially to do it." Showed her the scriptures. She said, "I'll have that." She took the Tanakh and the New Testament. And she said, "Can I have another one for my husband?" And I said, "Of course you can." And I believe the lad I spoke to initially was her husband, who was so opposed. I'll go on a little bit. These are individuals in Lisburn who received the word of God. This lad doesn't look particularly Jewish, but he is. This is just at Christmas there. This is in Castle Court. I just want to show you these individuals. This is in Dublin. These young people, there are only two stands in Dublin that we could find this year because of all the anti-Israeli protests. These are some of the places we've left the scriptures. These are Jewish-owned shops in Dublin. The Wesley College is where Chaim Herzog was educated, the sixth president of Israel. We left the scriptures in here. Jewish families still send their children to this college. This is the Irish Jewish Museum where we've left the scriptures. It's an old synagogue. This man is now gone. He died last year. His name is Raphael Siv. He's a very Orthodox Jew. Was a very Orthodox Jew. He took the Word of God from us and the New Testament on CD. We don't know. Only the Lord knows. This is the museum. And this is one of the curators now. She took a box of scriptures from us. I asked her if she would take the New Testament for the community. She said, I couldn't do that. You know I couldn't. And I said, she said, but I'll take it myself. So pray for her. This lady also took the scriptures. She's written a book about Jewish children who were saved during the Holocaust, that is, physically saved by staying on a farm in Mullaghlin in County Down. 300 children passed through that farm. She also took the New Testament from me. Here's some of the children. This is Mullaghlin Primary School, and here's a Holocaust memorial in front of it. I never knew it existed. This dear man's in a care home in Dublin. There are 15 mainly survivors of the Holocaust in this care home. We give the scriptures here. We give Tanakh and CD. We don't know whether family have used them or not. We hope that is the case. I'll just close in this, if you don't mind, just 2 minutes more. This is, I think it's the Cologne Hotel from where I can see. We get an opportunity amongst the Israeli football team came to play a friendly international against Northern Ireland about a year and a half ago, maybe more than that now. And somebody phoned us and told us where they'd be staying. And you know what it's like, security with Israel, and being Belfast as well, it was going to be very tight. And we went down on the Monday evening. The match took place on the Wednesday. Down the Monday evening, went to the door of the hotel and showed the scriptures and said we'd love to present these to the team. And the wee porter went and got the manager of the hotel, and he spoke to us and said, look, go in there, and said, I think it's a nice thing you're doing, but I don't think you'll get past Israeli security. So I said, neither do I, but we'll see. So went and sat down, and he said, I'm bringing you the head of Israeli security. Well, my wee heart started to pound. And within a wee while, a young man appeared with a flesh suit, and he just looked like a spy. But lovely. He was probably... It's probably the Mossad, because they do travel with the team. And he spoke to us, and he was obviously interrogating us, but he did it in such a gracious way. And I said something to him, which I didn't expect to say. And I thought of a few things to say, which never came out at all. I said to him, my mother taught me to pray for the Jewish people. And it just seemed to hit him. And he just went quiet. He said, I've no objection to what you're doing. He said, the team's not here yet, but when the team comes, they'll have to do this, they'll have to do that, but if you're prepared to wait, we'll get you an opportunity to give the scriptures. I don't have time to tell you. The team arrived. Some of these young men you would know, Yossi Ben-Ayun and all those boys that kick football for Israel. But at the end of 3 hours, if 3 hours we were there, at the end of 3 hours, this young man came and he brought officials from the team. And we spoke to them, and really I had a good 10 minutes to tell them why I was there. And it was really a wonderful opportunity. At the end of the 10 minutes, the guy stood back and he said, we're never met like this. Nobody ever says those things to us. And I said, I'm glad to have had the opportunity. And I said, but I'm here to present the scriptures to the team. I said, is there any chance of doing that? He said, they had a bit of a conversation. They said, is it possible to have 40? I said, 40? And I looked at the young security guy and I said, I've 25 with me. He said, can you come back tomorrow night? And we come back the next night. The boys waved us in. You know, the night before I was sitting in the car park saying to Suzanne, should we go home? The place was crawling with security. But you know, it's not us. You see, the Lord's at work in the hearts of his ancient people. And I personally believe that time is very, very short. And we need to work while it is day. And there's a particular night coming for Israel. The time of Jacob's trouble. And we need to get it into their hands. And it's no accident they're here. They're not here selling a few products. They're here that we may get the word of God into their hands. Even in our own land. Don't have to go to Israel. They're here. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts.